Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Tfilo LeMoshe. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on the 13th day in the month of Tammuz in the year Tavshin Chavtes, which is 56 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the 11th of Nisan, the Rebbe's birthday, in the year Tavshin Nun Aleph, 35 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on a verse in Psalms where it says, Tfila LeMoshe, a prayer to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish HaElikim, a man of God, etc. The Rebbe says that the previous Rebbe explains in his in a famous talk, and he says that this psalm, it has a connection to the 19th day of the month of Kislev, and as we know that the Alter Rebbe, when he was in prison, he would say every single day psalms the way it was divided up based on the day of the month, and since this psalm, Tfilah LeMoshe, is the beginning of the Psalms for the 19th day of the month of Kislev. So the Alter Rebbe said it on the day that he was redeemed from prison, this Psalm. And he continues on in that talk, the previous Rebbe, that King David had the Kabbalah. It means it was given over that this Psalm, Tfilah LeMoshe, Moshe Rabbeinu actually is the one that wrote it. And like the Medrash says, that there are 11 Psalms that Moshe Rabbeinu said, corresponding to the 11 different tribes. And he continues on in that talk to explain that the beginning of the psalm says, Hashem, Moin at Ata, and Hashem, you're my dwelling place. And the psalm finishes off and it says, V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu, and he says the beginning, where it says Moin, which means dwelling place, and the end, Noyam, which means sweet, is the same letters. They both have a mem, and an ayin, and a vav, and a final nun. Shabbos says, we have to understand the connection between these three ideas. In other words, one, this psalm's connection to the 19th day of Kislev. Also, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that composed it. And also, the connection between Moin and Noyam, that they're the same letters. Also, we have to understand what he brings a proof from the Medrash that this psalm, Moshe Rabbeinu said it, composed it. But the fact is, it says clearly, Tfilah LeMoshe. It's a prayer for Moshe Rabbeinu. Travis, we can explain this based on what it's known, that with the redemption of the Alter Rebbe on the 19th day of Kislev, what started then was the whole idea of Yafutsu Mayinasecha Chutza, that the wellsprings of mysticism should be spread all over the world. And we know that by spreading mysticism like we're doing right now, we're learning Chassidus on YouTube and Spotify all over the world, this is a preparation and a vessel for the coming of Mashiach. So again, the key point is that Yitzchak Kislev started spreading the wellsprings, and that's a vessel for the coming of Mashiach. So based on this, the connection of this psalm with the redemption of Yitzchak Kislev, it shows that it's connected to the ultimate redemption. And that's why, after he says in this talk, the Friedrich says that this is connected to Yitzchak Kislev, he goes on to say that who is the one that composed it? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Redeemer, and Moshe Rabbeinu is also going to be the ultimate Redeemer. And he points out that King David had, the Kabbalah was given over to him, that this psalm Moshe Rabbeinu composed. Why? Because he was trying to hint that this idea that we're saying that it connected to Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu as the one that took us out of Egypt. And as we know, the going out of Egypt is the beginning and the precursor for the ultimate redemption, which is going to come through King David, King David Messiah, like it says, Ki mate says chamer, that's right. And just like going the days going out of Egypt, I will show you the wonders in the future. And he brings over here what the Medrash says, that there is 11 Mizmorim, Psalms, that Moshe Rabbeinu said. And what's the idea of 11? So 11, it says, there's two components in 11. What's 11? So 11, you have one before and on top of 10. That's 11. You have 10 and one before, and this makes it 11. And what is that referring to spiritually? It's referring to the Eirein Seif, the infinite part of Hashem, which is above the 10 Sirot. Like it says in the Zohar, Antuchad, it's one, v'loy b'chushban, not part of the counting of the 10 Sirois. So and the achad also 11 is ideas to bring in the achad, the one which is not part of the counting, into the 10, into all the 10 spheres up till where it goes into the sphere of malchus. And on the contrary, the main idea is to bring in chad, the loy b'chushbon, where should the one go into? Obviously in all the spheres, but specifically in malchus. Why in malchus? Because malchus, the source, even though malchus is the lowest, but the source of malchus is where in Keter, but not only in Keter, in Pnimiyat HaKeser, in the eternal part of Keser. So the goal is to bring the one into malchus, because malchus' source is what? In Pnimiyat HaKeser. Because, why is that? Because all the spheres, all the 10 spheres, the sources, and chitzenius, the external part of Keser, because that's it's and that's why it's counted in part of the 10 spherot. But the source of malchus is where in the pnimi at the Keser, which is not counted part of the 10 spheres, like it says chad v'loy b'chushban, one, and it's not part of the counting. However, in the revealed ways, that's in the reality of malchus. So, if you have the proper eyes, how do you look at malchus? Malchus really is sourced in Pnimius Arkesser, which is not part of the numbers. But in the revealed way, we know malchus. If you give a look, malchus is the lowest sphere. Up to the point, it's the lowest sphere, let's say in the first world of Atzilus, malchus is the lowest sphere, and from malchus you start creating the future worlds of Bria, Tzira, Asiya, up until you have this physical world. However, that's now what we see in a revealed way. However, in the future, when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen is we're going to reveal the source of Malchus, the way it's in Chad v'loy b'chushban, in Pnimius HaKeser, and that's going to be shining out in Malchus himself, and even the way it comes down, the way Malchus comes down to Bri Yetzirah Asiyah, and also even into this physical world. And on the contrary, the main revelation is going to be in this materialistic world. And by revealing the source of Pnimius HaKeser into Malchus and into the physical world, that's how we're going to complete the intent of making a dwelling place for Hashem down here. And as we know that this world, the lowest world, means where God is mainly concealed, is going to be a dwelling place for Hashem, but not just Hashem, but the essence of Hashem. So based on this, he liked to explain what it says in the talk, what he brings from the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu said 11, Achad Asar, 11 Psalms, because over here he's trying to hint the connection of the Psalm of Tfilah Moshe with what? With the future redemption. Because the idea of this Psalm is, which is the beginning of all the 11 Psalms, is about bringing in the one, Pnimius HaKeser, Chad V'Loy B'Chushbon, into all the spheres, and mainly up to the ultimate sphere of spheres from Malchus. So based on this, he says he'd like to explain what he continues on in the talk to explain, that Moin, which is in the beginning of the psalm, is the same letters as Noyam, which is at the end of the psalm, because it's brought down in the Chassidic discourses of Tfilah Moshe, that Moin, which means a dwelling place, that's what is that referring to in the spheres? That's Malchus. And why is it called Moin? It's from the expression of a dwelling place, a house. Like it says, Beis Zewish, that the house is where you live with your spouse. So Moin is referring to Malchus, and Noyam, which is Tainug, which is pleasure, is Optic, which is the highest part of Keser. And Moin is the same letters as Noyam. Why is that? Because the source of Malchus, the source of the lowest, is in Keter, which is basically in the premium part of Keter, which is basically Optic. And obviously you can say that's why he brings in the talk of the previous Rebbe in the continuation of Achad Asar, which is 11. He brings that the Ma'in, the same letters as Noyam, to hint to us that the revelation of Echad, Noschad, V'loy B'chushban, Pnimius HaKeser, is in the 10 spheres. Where's the main revelation going to be? It's going to be in Malchus, and the reason is because Malchus' source is in Attic. Now, there was to explain this now more in detail and more specific, as we'll understand this based on what the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Chabad Rebbe, taught us in the Chassidic discourse with this title. So he brings in a Zohar, and the Zohar says that Tfilah L'Moshe, the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, what is it? It's called a Tfilas Asher. It's a prayer of a rich person. And he says that's the difference between the prayer of King David and the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the prayer of King David is a prayer of a poor person, and the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu is the prayer of a rich person. And he points out, and he in the Chassidic discourse, because what's the idea of a prayer? Prayer, you're praying to Hashem. Hashem should give you what you're lacking. But since a rich person is not lacking anything, so what is the idea of a rich man's prayer? So that's question number one. What is he praying? He's not lacking anything. Also, more we have to understand, based on what it says in Chazal, based on the verse that says, Dei machseiroi asher yachsaloi. So if somebody's lacking something, so it says Dei machseiroi, you have to give him what he's lacking, and it says asher yachsaloi, what he's missing. So there's two pieces here. Point number one is Dei machseiroi, whatever he's missing, you have to give him. So what does that connote? Whatever he's missing, you have to give him. You don't have to make him wealthy. But asher yachsaloi means what he's lacking means if somebody was used to, for example, the example they give is. The person had a private. He had a horse and buggy that would run for him, and he had servants, etc. So you have to give him everything that was lacking. And if the person was rich and he was used to a rich lifestyle, you have to give him that as well. So in other words, what do you see from here? So when it says when someone is poor, you have to give him what he's lacking, but then you also have to give him whatever he was missing. So that's a poor person. If you're a poor person, you're giving everything, and even what he's missing. So what's a rich person? A poor person gets everything also. So obviously, when you say someone that's wealthy, that means he's not lacking anything, and he's not even lacking all the luxuries of a horse to run in front of him and servants, etc. So what does that mean? He has an abundance of flow of wealth and success and everything that he needs. So if that's the case, the question is, we're dealing with a poor person, the rich person has so much, so what is he praying for? So it's explained many, many places, and also in that Hasidic discourse, that a rich person's prayer is not for himself. He's not praying for himself. And like he brings the Medrash, the Medrash says, based on the verse of this verse, Tfilah LaMoshe, he says, what does that mean? What is he praying for? And he gives an example that three people that came to receive something from the king, and this person asked for this, and the other person asked for something else. The third person has everything. So the king says to them, what do you want? He says, I'm not asking anything for myself. I have everything. But there's a certain country that's destroyed, and it's yours, the king, it's yours. So I'm telling you to make a decree, it should be built. So the same thing also Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't asking anything for himself. He was asking for the Jewish people. So Rebbe says, this explanation, you need to have a more of an explanation. Why? Because what is a prayer? Prayer means, we know, it's explained in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it's avodah shebalev. A person prays, it's work of the heart. You pour your heart out to Hashem. So in other words, even if you're praying for someone else, how you're praying in a way that bothers you in your heart. And it's up to the point that you feel the other person's pain. You feel the other person's lacking. And the more you feel someone else's pain, that's how great your prayer is. So why you pray? So that's if you're praying for someone else and it really bothers you, so then you really are lacking. So if the other person's pain bothers you, so why is it called a prayer of a rich man? Maybe you technically don't have it, but if the other person bothers you, then it's your loss as well. So why is it called a prayer of a rich man? Rebbe says, the point of the explanation is as follows, and this is powerful. What does it mean to be wealthy? So wealthy doesn't mean that you have everything materially in an abundance, and even more than an abundance. That's not wealth. What is wealth? I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate it and we'll explain it. Wealth means that you are a asher be'etzem. In your bones, in your essence, you're rich. So we're not talking about stuff. We're not talking about physical things. Because you can have all the stuff. No, you're not considered wealthy. Why? Because you're concerned about somebody else. A rich person, again, asher be'etzem. You're rich in your bones. In your essence, you're rich. What does that mean? And Rebbe explains. Because what is the definition of a rich person? What is the definition of a poor person? And there begins one word. A rich person is a mashbia, and a poor person is a mekabel. A rich person is a giver, and a poor person is a receiver. So we have two definitions. A rich person means in essence you're rich, and rich means what? You're a giver, and a poor person means you're a receiver. What do we see from here? That even if somebody has tremendous abundance, tremendous wealth, But the tremendous abundance and wealth that you have, it's not yours, but you received it from somebody else, you're a poor person. You're a receiver. As long as what you have you received, you're poor. So what is someone that's rich? That you have everything. You have everything. If you have everything, then you're rich. If you need something and you take something and you want something, then you're poor. There's, he'd like to connect this with a powerful teaching that says, I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate it, Ein ani elabadas, vein usher elabadas. Poor is defined by das. There's chachma, bina, and das. It's a deep place in the mind. That's what defines if you're poor. And what is rich? It's defined in your das. What does that mean? So what does das mean? The Rebbe explains. Das means, and the Rebbe uses two terminologies, two words, hakara and hargasha. Hakara means recognition. Hargasha means to feel. So das means you recognize and you feel it. And from the qualities of recognition and feeling over, I'll use the Hebrew words, haskala v'hasaga, which is referring to chachma and bina. So the Rebbe is differentiating between chachma, bina, and das. Chachma is haskala, understanding intellectually. Bina is comprehension. And das is recognition and feeling. In other words, when a person is masculine maven, that means he uses his chachma or bina. So what does that mean? You don't know it yourself. But chachma and bina, you're receiving data. Chachma means, yeah, I got this data. Bina means I got this data. Das means that you recognize it and you feel it. You yourself feel it and you grasp it. And that's why when it comes to defining if someone's poor or someone's rich, it's not in chachma, because chachma you receive, that's poor. It's not in bina you receive, that's poor. Where are you rich? In das. Why? Because when it comes to understanding from seichel and habana, chachma and bina, so you acquired it, but you don't know it. It's data that you received. So even after, yes, you understand it, chachma, bina, etc., you're still poor. But when you have das, then you go out from the place of being poor and being to being rich. Now, so we know that the power, where is the real power? The real power is in the development of das. And for example, there is a powerful example. When a person makes a decision to do something, because he recognizes and he feels, key words, recognizes and feels, not chachma and bina, understanding and comprehension, but when you recognize and you feel, this is what you have to do, so then your decision is strong. Much greater when if it came just from chachma and bina, or the terminology like he uses, havana and hasaga. Why is that? Because when you comprehend something with chachma or bina, so it's discussion in your mind. In your own mind, with someone else, etc., which means there's room for another opinion. So therefore, when a person makes a decision based on chachma or bina, it's not strong. Because it's up to negotiation. However, when there's harkara and hargasha, when there's a recognition and a feeling in the essence of the logic, then when you get to the depth of the essence of the reasoning, there's no other reasoning. There's no opposite reasoning. You got it. There's nothing else. You got it what it is. And then when a person makes a decision and a resolution from a place of hakara, it doesn't change. When a person put their das into something and you made a decision based on das, it's not changing. So based on the service says, you can say that this, that chachma and bina, without das, is considered poor. It's not only in reference to the person, because again, when it comes to understanding on chachma and bina, it's something which is external to yourself, and the person is lacking, so you consider poor. But even when it comes to the comprehension, besides the human being, the comprehension itself, because since when it comes to the understanding of Chachamina, it's possible to do the opposite. On the other hand, when someone is wealthy in his essence, so there is nothing that's lacking. When you're connected with Das, Hakara Varkasha, you got it, it's yours. There's nothing that's lacking. And therefore, so when a person's a real rich person, which means he gets it, and he's an usher be'etzem, he's wealthy, he didn't receive it from anywhere else, he got it, he owns it. So what happens is now you're a wealthy person, you're praying for someone else. So even if when you're praying for someone else, and it bothers you they don't have, and it's as if you're lacking that same thing, it doesn't come, I'm lacking, and because I got it. Yes, I feel bad the other person doesn't get it, and I'm praying for him, and I feel, but it's not like an external thing that I'm losing my richness. And that's why the prayer is called a prayer of a rich person. Powerful insight to what a rich person is. To recap, a poor person is someone that receives. That means even Chachman Bina is poor. Das, when you get it, you have Harkara and Hargasha, you got it, then you're rich. And even if you're concerned about someone else's lack of needs, it doesn't change. You're still a rich person in the bones. Joseph will understand this with an introduction. What does it mean someone's rich, literally? And like he brings from the what we discussed before, that a rich person, not only does he have what he needs, but it's with tremendous abundance. So therefore, the difference between a poor person, even if he has everything, compared to a poor person, is in two areas. What's the difference? Because even when a poor person has many, many things, you can't compare him to a rich person. Because the poor person, like we learned, again, it's all external stuff. It's not really the person's. So in essence, the person is a receiver, so it's not really his. Okay, he has the things, but it's not really his. So you can be poor and have everything, but you're still poor because you don't feel like it's yours. A rich person is rich on its own. He has everything. So if he has stuff he doesn't have, it doesn't affect the person. That's one component. That the difference is that the poor person, whatever he has, he doesn't feel like he has it. And the rich person, whatever he has, that doesn't make him rich. He's rich because he's rich on his essence. The second point is that the rich person actually has tremendous abundance that the poor person doesn't have. That's two ideas. Now, you can say that on the spiritual level, these two components are connected. In other words, in order that the things that you need, deimach seiroi, you should have it in a way, not that you're receiving it from somebody else, but you have it from yourself. How does that happen? It happens when you have a tremendous abundance of flow, higher than what just not to have that you shouldn't be lacking. What does that mean? What does that mean practically? Nur explains powerfully. When a person is serving Hashem just based on intellect, so besides the fact that intellect is only finite, it's only going to give you whatever you're lacking. So you're missing in the internal level the relationship. Why? Because when your connection to Hashem is based on intellect, it's possible that you can come up with an opposite reason. But in order that you're serving Hashem should be in a way that it's not possible for any other option to be, that's when you're serving Hashem from a place of there is no limits, a place of real wealth. So there was in order to understand this idea, which basically means wealth higher than just filling the void. So he gives an introduction in the Chassidic discourse that even when it comes to filling the void, there's two ideas. Like the verse says, Dei machseiroi, what the person's missing, Asher yechseloi, that means even if he had luxuries. And like the Chazal tell us, what's luxuries? For example, those days, luxuries was, you had a horse that ran in front of you, you had servants, etc. In other words, Dei machseiroi means the three levels. Dei machseiroi means to give a person whatever they need. Basics. Then he says, Asher yechseloi, that you have to give a person certain luxuries that you were used to. Why? Because you're used to it. And what is wealth? Wealth is a tremendous flow of abundance, much more than luxuries. So there's three levels. One is giving someone basics. One is giving someone luxuries that they were used to. And then one is like an abundance without any calculations. And he explains that these three ideas, in other words, two ideas in giving something that you're lacking, either basic needs or luxuries that you're lacking, and wealth, tremendous abundance, also exists on a spiritual level. And as we know, everything that exists in this world exists on a spiritual level. What does that mean? And he explains like this. When it comes to the revelations on high, there's three general revelations. One is called, I'll say the Hebrew words and I'll translate and explain it. One is called Mamala Kol Alamin, the way God fills the world. It means there's light which can be felt in the world. Then there's Soyvev Kol Alamin, this powerful light that cannot be felt in the world, but it's powerful energies. And then there's the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than Mamali and Soyvev. And he explains. The first level of Mamali Kol Alamin, the part of Hashem that fills the world, that's the light that gets enclosed in the world. And in every single creation of the world to give it its energy. And like Chazal tell us, just like the soul fills the body, so the same thing also, Hashem fills the world. And just like the energy of the soul is in the person's body, and it's based on the limb that it's giving energy to, because obviously every limb needs a different type of energy. The same thing also with the energy in the world, so it fills the world based on every single different part of the world, what it needs. That's called a Mali Kol Alamin. Mali Kol Alamin means in simple, it gives every single part of the world the energy that specific part of the world needs. Then there's Soyviv Kol Alamin. What is that? That's the light which is higher than being clothed in the details of the world. And that's why it's called Soyviv. It hovers over. It hovers over the world equally. But even though it hovers over the world, it has a connection to the world. And that's why it's called Soyviv Kol Alamin. It hovers over the world. So what would that analogy be? That would be like the energy of the soul in itself. Like we say, the soul is a chai be'etzem. The soul is alive in its essence. So even though it's much higher than the energy that comes into the body, but it's the source of energy that from there the energy goes into the body. What is that called? It's called chai. And if you know the vowels, you have kamatz, patach, tere, so it's chai. It's a patach, chai elamin, with a patach, chai elamin. And Eric said, what's the difference between chai, a patach, or chai with a tere? Because chai elamin means that chai means the life is connected to the world. It's the life of the world. The life of the world, and that's connected where to the level of Mamali. Chai Olamim with a patach, so Chai is not connected. Chai is life. Olamim is world. It means Chai means it's living on its own, its essence, and that's called Seiviv. And you can say that even in the level of Chai Be'etzem, the Chai on its own, which is Seiviv, it's still called Chai Olamim. Why? Because it's the source that from there life comes into the world. And he continues on the Chassidic discourse to explain that Soyvev is called Chaye Lamin, like we just learned, but it's also called Chaye HaChayim, the life of the life. In other words, what's Chayim? What's life? That's the part of life that comes into the world, Mamale. And the Soyvev, the part that hovers over the world, that the source of life, is called Chaye HaChayim. And that's why what Chazal tell us from chayim, that's how God gives us life. In other words, from the source of life, that's how life comes into the world. Now, and that's why Chazal tell us based on the verse Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. So what does that mean? Mizmor Shir, singing a psalm in the future for the day when it's going to be totally Shabbat. And resting for Chaye Lomim, for the life, and again, life of the world. So Chaye, over there, it also says with a patach. What is that referring to? It's referring to Soyvev. And in the future, when Mashiach comes, we're actually going to rest. We're going to have it resting even from the level of Chaye Lomim, even from that powerful level. Why? Because when Mashiach comes in the future, what's going to be revealed? Not only Mamali for sure, not only Soyvev, but even what's going to be revealed then is the revelation of Atzmus Oirein Soyvev, the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than connecting to the world, which means higher than the level of Soyvev. And like the verse says, Yechayenu mi yoimayim, we're going to have the life from 2 days. By yoim hashlishi, referring to the future Mashiach comes, Yikimenu v'nichti lepanov. So the author explains in the Kut Torah, so the yoimayim, the 2 days, is referring to two revelations of Mamali Kalam and Soiv Kalam. And the yoim hashlishi, the third day, is referring to the revelation of Atzmos, the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is much higher than any connection to the world. And that's why it says, by yoim hashlishi, and the third day, Yikimenu v'nichti lepanov, which means we're going to connect to the primius, the internal part of the essence of Hashem. At the point that the Rebbe says that the literal translation of Yoimayim and Yoim HaShlishi is referring to three different times. Yoimayim is referring to this world and the Garden of Eden, or this world and the days of Mashiach. But Yoim HaShlishi is referring to a whole different level of what, when the dead are going to be resurrected. And the connection between these two ideas of these two times, that Yoimayim is referring to the revelation of Amali and Soivev, and as we know, when we're going to have the resurrection of the dead, we're going to need the revelation of the essence of Hashem. Now, these three components, in other words, the two components of filling what's lacking, Deimach Seiroi, basic needs, V'asher Yechseloi, which means even if you're used to certain luxuries, and the idea of Ashiris wealth, in the revelation on high, exists also on three levels. In other words, the two ideas of filling what's lacking, either the basic needs, or if somebody is used to more stuff, is connected to the idea of Mamali and Soiviv. Mamali would be the basic needs, and Soiviv is the luxuries. Because even when it comes to Soiviv, it has a connection to the world. And therefore, when this light does not reveal in the world, so what happens, the world is missing. And like the Chazal tell us, based on the verse, Vayechal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i, when God created the world, so he finished on the seventh day, so what was missing? So it says, if God finished, what was missing? What was missing was menucha, to rest. What came? Came Shabbos, now we have rest. So what is menucha? What is resting? This is very powerful. You should know what you're doing on Shabbat. Shabbos is all about soivev, bringing in the part that cannot come into the world, bringing that into the world. But nevertheless, when that was not revealed into the world, the world was missing, because we need Chesedah to come into the world. But when Shabbos came, and what came into the world, what got revealed into this world, was a level of Soiviv. Now what was missing, was missing that completed. So therefore, the revelation of Soiviv is also filling what's missing. But however, the filling what's missing through the revelation of Mamale is the first level, Deimach Seiroi, basic needs. So Mamale, Deimach Seiroi is connected to Mamale. Mamale fills Deimach Seiroi. And to fill what's missing, the luxuries, comes through Soiviv, Asher Yechseloi, even like you said, a horse running in front of them and servants. And wealth is the revelation of the essence of the infinite amount of Hashem, which is higher than any connection to the world. Now, the difference between Deimach Seiroi, which we said is connected to Mamale, Asher Yechseloi is connected to Soiviv, and practically speaking to a poor person, it's not only that what's lacking what's lacking is a simple thing. Asher Yechseloi is bigger stuff. It means he needs a horse and he needs his luxuries, but even Asher Yechseloi is only for somebody that was used to it. So Deimach Seiroi means you have to give him basics. Asher Yechseloi is bigger stuff. It's not only bigger stuff. Who do you give bigger stuff? Only someone that was used to it. But if you aren't used to it, there's no reason to give it to the person. Now, based on we know that everything that exists in the Torah is very, very specific. So you have to say that the comparison of the two revelations of Mamale and Soiviv, which we connected to Deimach Seiroi as Mamale, and Asher Yechseloi is connected to Soiviv, it's not only because the revelation of Soiviv is a high revelation, and that's why it's connected to Asher Yechseloi, but also because fulfilling the gap of Soiviv, just like we said, Asher Yechseloi, you're used to it, the Soiviv is only for those that are used to that level. So as you can say, the explanation is based on what it says in the Chassidic Discourse, that this, when it comes to the three levels of love, so we know it says in the Shema, it says, you should love Hashem, b'chol levavcha, that's the first level, with your whole heart, both hearts, b'chol nafshcha, with your whole soul, and then b'chol ma'oidcha. So the Rebbe is now connecting these three levels, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, ma'oidcha, and love, to the three levels before, b'malei soiviv, and the essence of Hashem. In other words, the love of b'chol nafshecha is connected to what? B'malei k'lalmim, the way it feels. In other words, what's the connection? When a person meditates that the energy of everything is God, wow, so you're going to come to love Hashem b'chol levavcha with your whole heart. And it's double heart, which means both your sides, the godly soul and the animal soul. And since the energy of b'malei k'lalmim is something that we can internalize, so therefore when we meditate, we'll realize that it will realize it not only in the godly soul, but more importantly in the animal soul. So Mamali Kalalmin is connected to the idea of the love which basically comes into our animal soul. That's the first level of love, B'chol Levavcha, the way that comes into the animal soul. What's the love of B'chol Nafshecha? That we say is connected to the idea of Seif Kalalmin. What does that mean? When the person meditates, that godly energy which comes into the world, even though it comes through, it's only a ray. It's nothing. The energy that comes, it's just a ray of Hashem. You can't compare to the essence of Hashem, which hovers over. So now you start realizing, not only the godliness that comes in the world, but you're realizing that you're going higher, you're realizing the greater part of Hashem, how awesome Hashem is. What is in this world is only just a ray. So then what happens is you come to a different level, b'chol nafshecha. I mean, you love Hashem in a level of with your whole soul, and you're willing to go on self-sacrifice. Even Hashem takes your soul. And as you're willing and you're ready to go out of your physical existence, and you want to cleave and connect to the infinite part of Hashem, and this level of love, that's right now coming from the animal soul. The animal soul wants to stay here. This is already coming from the godly soul. And there's two reasons. Because the comprehension of on the level of Hakara V'Hargasha, like we learned before, and that brings the greatest level of Ava, comes from Das, about the awesomeness of the infinite part of Hashem. Who can do that? Only the godly soul. Why? Because the godly soul's source is in the level of Seiver. However, a regular creation of the animal soul, which it comes, what's the source of Shem Elokim, which is Mali, it's impossible to have within it, even in angels, and how much more so in animal soul, a comprehension, a level of Hagkarav, Hargasha, Das, in the level of an infinite part of Hashem Seiver. That's one reason. And also the animal soul is a metzias, it's a something. What's the love of my whole soul? I'm leaving myself. The animal soul is not leaving itself. The godly soul will leave itself and come one with Hashem. And the animal soul is not becoming a nothing. So b'chol levavcha is the animal soul, memalei k'lalmim. B'chol nafshecha is the godly soul, seiv k'lalmim, it's willing to leave. Because the love of b'chol levavcha, the first love, which comes on based on the meditation and the recognition that the energy of everything in the world is godliness. So, yeah, my world, my physical world, and guess what? Hashem is here in this world, but it's my world. I'm not giving up my right to exist. And it's just like a person loves himself. What does that mean? You love the energy, and you like the expansion of your energy. And when you realize that the main thing is godly energy, but you want a godliness, but nevertheless, it's fine. I still exist. So therefore, that love is coming from the animal soul. However, when it comes to b'chol nafshecha, which you have a will and you have a desire to leave your physical existence, and you just want to become one, and you want to be with the infinite part of Hashem, who does that? Animal souls don't do that. The godly soul does that. And since the source of the godly soul is in the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Soivev, and even after it came down to this world, it's still part of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Like it says, Ki Chelek Hashem Amoy. The nature will connect to Yud Kei Vav Kei. And therefore it has a want and desire to leave self and to go into the infinite part of Hashem. And based on it's known that the soul came down into this world, what's the reason why the soul came down this world? To elevate. And it's by coming down this world, it's going to go to a higher level than before it came down to this world. So obviously it's understood that the intent of the soul coming down to this world is to go into its source, and even higher than its source. And that's the love of B'chol Mo'idcha. Self-sacrifice and totally becoming one and leaving and becoming unified with the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is actually higher than Seiviv. So based on this everything, you can say that this, that fulfilling what's lacking by revealing Soivev is connected to Asher Yechzaloi, Which means, what do we say, Shiach Soleil? When someone was used to having that type of wealth, the godly soul was used to that kind of wealth. Because before the godly soul came down to this world, where was it? It was with Hashem. It was with Ayar Seviv. So Shiach Soleil is connected to Seviv. So now the Rebbe says, one second, we have to understand. Based on what we just explained, that the revelation of Seviv is basically connected to the idea of something that filling something that was lacking applies only to the neshama, to the soul, not to Nefesh Bahamas. However, when it comes to the creation, you can say that the revealing Seviv is going to fill what's missing. Why? Because they weren't used to it. They never had it before, the animal soul. Now, so that's what we just learned. But this study brings, in the Chassidic discourse, what was the world lacking? It was lacking peace. What it means? What was lacking? They didn't have the peace of Ayar Seviv. So, on the other hand, we're saying the world was missing it. Here we just learned who's in Seviv, who is connected to the godly soul. But the fact is, what we just learned before, the world is missing it all as well. Not only the godly soul. So obviously, you can say that since the main intent of the soul coming down into this world, it's not to elevate the soul. Yeah, the soul gets elevated, but it's not the main reason why we came down to this world, to elevate the soul. But we came down to this world to fix and to elevate the world. That's the intent. We're here to elevate the world. So therefore, when a person has the love of b'chol nafshecha, which again, is coming from the soul, the soul wants to leave this world. But where you're having the soul in this world. So what happens is, even though it's the soul that wants to leave, but where's the soul having this journey? In this world. So the world gets elevated. And the world gets elevated to a higher level. And therefore it has a connection with Seviv. Just like the soul has a connection to Seviv. And up to the point when Seviv is not lighting in the world, was not shining in the world is lacking. Obviously, we'd like to add an explanation on this, based on what it says in the Chassidic discourse, that the two components of Seviv and Mamalei are connected. We're going now deeper. The two connections, the connection of Seviv and Mamalei is connected to the name of Yudkei Vavkei and Shem Elokim. And like I explained many places, that the name Elokim, it's not only a protection that hides and conceals the light of Yudkei Vavkei, but also the light of Yudkei. So one hand, we always learn that the Elohim has been to protect and it conceals Yudkei Vavkei, but also that the light of Yudkei Vavkei, the way it comes down and it gets contracted through the name of Elohim to be a source for everything that's created in the world, which basically is the light of Mali, is called Shem Elokim. In other words, so on one hand, it's there to protect, but on the other hand, Shem Yudkei Vavkei needs that to protect it, so Yudkei Vavkei can do its job in this world. And like the author explains in Tanya, that the creation of the world comes from where? Yudkei Vavkei. As we know, Yudkei Vavkei means is the name of Mahavik, a creation. However, if the creation came just from Yudkei Vavkei, the world would totally be blown away. So therefore, in reality, in action, it comes through the name Elohim. So you can say the same thing also when it comes to Seviv Mamalei, that the main energy in the world, we see it as Mamalei. No, the main energy in the world is actually from Ayar Seviv, Yudkei Vavkei. But in order that the world should be able to remain a physical world, so the way it comes into the world, it comes through Mamalei. So it's a whole different concept. On one end, you're saying is, oh, the purpose of Mamalei is so we can have the light in the world. But what's Mamalei if not for Yudkei Vavkei? Elohim is to protect. No, but ultimately it's Yudkei Vavkei that's creating the world. Elohim allows Yudkei Vavkei to come into the world. Mamalei allows Seviv to come into the world. And the Rebbe says there's two components. That the essence of the energy of the world is what? Seviv. But if Seviv came into the world wouldn't be a finite world. And everything in this world would be equal. And like the author explains in Tanya, that if the creation of the world were written from Yud Kei Vav Kei, there wouldn't be time, there wouldn't be space. But since the energy of the world, from Soivev, from Yud Kei Vav Kei, comes through Amale, Shem Elokim, which comes into the world, every single part of the world, based on what it needs, so therefore you have a division. That's one component. Another idea is that even the energy of the world, the finite energy and the division of the world that comes from Amale, is not coming from Amale itself. Ultimately, it's all coming from Yud Kei Vav Kei and from Soivev. What does that mean? They're explaining like this. He explains in the Chassidic discourse that what is Mamale? Mamale, he gave the analogy of the energy of the soul which comes into the body. And Soivev is like the energy which on its energy on its own, and that's a source of energy. That's what he explained before in the Chassidic discourse. Now, based on what is explained elsewhere, that the energy that comes from the soul and comes into the body, it's not because it's connected to the essence, to the soul itself. That the soul that has its own energy. Why? Because the level of the expansion of the energy on its own can't give up that energy. And this is the energy that comes from the soul is because it's connected to the source of it. So you can say the same thing also with Amale and Soivev. The power in Oyer HaMamale, which basically means the expansion of the energy in every area what it is, to give us energy, it's not coming from, because Oyer HaMamale has that energy, but the energy is coming from because Mamale is connected to Soivev, which basically, which is Chai B'etzim, has its own life. So Oyer HaMamale is almost like a glove, but what's behind the glove? The energy that's in the glove. So this Basin Zerba says, I like to explain what it says in the Chassidic discourse, that Soivev is called Chaye HaChayim, like we said, it's the life of the life, or Chaye Lamin with a Chai, which means it's the essence of the energy. So you can say that the name Chaye HaChayim and Chaye Lamin is referring to two components. This one is called Chaye HaChayim because that's from here comes the energy for Mamale. And this way it's called Chaye Lamim, because from here comes the energy in the in Mamale to give life to the world. So Rebbe said there's two components. You have Mamale, which basically gives the life to the world. On one hand, the source comes from Soivev, and now that even the part where Mamale is doing its job, that also is coming from Soivev. And obviously, he'd like to add that this, that the energy which spreads out to give energy to the whole body, is revealed. You're revealing the Chai Be'etzem, knows that the part that has the power to give energy to the body, even though in Chai Be'etzem and Soivev, it's much higher than spreading out. Because what does it mean that it's the source of energy of the energy? So based on what Rebbe explains, this that we say that Soivev is called Chai HaChayim, which means it's life of the life, that the life, which is the essence of life, is basically the idea of Soivev, which comes into Mamale. So there was a basis, you can say, that based on these two ideas, of the energy that comes into the world, then on one hand you see a finite energy. But in the internal part, if you go behind the curtain, it's actually infinite. And therefore it has the power to create finite things in the world. So you can say that you have these two same components in the world as well. In other words, what does that mean? If you look externally, so yeah, the world has finite energy. And the revelation of Soivev, that's part that, you know, that gives it wealth. But if you look internally, what do you see in the internal part of the world? No, you see the real energy. Because it has that energy, because it's connected to its source. And through the level of B'chol Nafshecha, so what happens then is the souls gets revealed, the internal part of the world. And through that, what happens is you're even in the world, which looks like it's lacking, what's revealed is a level of Soivev, and through Soivev, you can go ahead and you can fill the gap in the world. So that's in terms of the two levels of Mali and Soivev, which comes in the world. Because now you can say the same thing also when it comes to real wealth. What's real wealth? Real wealth is revealing, not Soivev, the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than Soivev. And by revealing this, in the souls of the Jewish people, again, revelation of the Atzmus Ayin Saif, the essence of the infinite power of Hashem, we're going to have in the future when Mashiach comes, a part of that in the world itself. Because the ultimate goal is that Sayyid shall light into the world, like we learned before till now, and even the level of what the Atzmus Ayin Saif. So based on this, you'd like to explain what it says in the Chassidic Discourse, when they explain what the Medrash says, that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed not for himself. He prayed for the Jewish people. What are the Jewish people in the world of the Sefirot? The Jewish people are Malchus. And the prayer and the request of Moshe Rabbeinu, the request of a rich person for the Jewish people was that in Malchus, what should be drawn down in there? The revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, real wealth. And based on that, the Medrash explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he pray for the Jewish people? Is just like the example he gave that a certain country is destroyed and make a decree it should be rebuilt. What is the country referring to? It's referring to Malchus. And what is the request? That it should be rebuilt, which means that in Malchus, what should shine in Malchus? The revelation of the essence of the infinite power of Hashem. And then it will be rebuilt. A binyan adiyado will be built forever. We have to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu is praying for the Jewish people. And he's praying literally for the Jewish people, like the Medrash says. And now we're saying, he's praying for Malchus. He's praying for the Jewish people, he's praying for Malchus. Shabbos says something very beautiful, and he says like this. By drawing in the revelation of the essence of Hashem in the Jewish people, so through that, you're going to have the revelation where? In Malchus, which is the source of the world, and through that, into the world. And to add, just like we explained before, in reference of the revelation of Soivev that comes into the world through the Jewish people, and it was by revealing the internal part of the world, because Soivev is in the world, but it's internal. We see Chitzonius, so we reveal the internal part. So the same thing also when it comes to revelation of the infinite part, which is higher than Soivev, which comes into the world through the Jewish people. How does that happen? By revealing that the internal part and the source of Malchus is the essence of Hashem. And like it says in the Chassidic Discourse, that the country you have destroyed is yours. Why? Because the Malchus, the source is an Atzmus Ayin Saif. And you can say that the reason that he brings in the Chassidic Discourse, what it says, Yichayenu miyomayim v'yoyim ha'shlishi, and we explain over there, what does it mean, yomayim, 2 days, is referring to two revelations of Mamali and Soivev. And the third one is referring to the revelation of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. And these three components, Mamali, Soivev, and the essence of Hashem, gets revealed in three different times. Why is that? He's trying to hint to us that even though that time is from the limitations of the world and the energy of the world, which has in there an internal way, is Mamali, but nevertheless it's connected to Soivev, and it's also connected, even the world's connected to Soivev, and also connected to the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than Soivev. And the point that the Rebbe says, the same thing also, that's in reference to time. The time has all three components. And the same thing also in space. Because we know that the makeup of the world is space and time. And what is the space of the world? Which means there's different levels. There's higher, there's lower, etc. And even though the division of higher and lower in the world is based on different types of energy, so for example, Mamali, the part that fills the world, like the Rebbe brings the verse that says, Nati Yaminoi, Hashem stretched out his right hand and created the heaven. Nata Smoiloi, he stretched out his left hand and he created the earth. And we know Shemayim, heaven, which is referring to the whole higher worlds, comes from the right. And Eretz, earth, the lower worlds, comes from the left. And we know the difference between right and left has to do with energy, which is basically the level of Mamali, like he explains in the Chassidic Discourse. And it's obviously self-understood. But nevertheless, the general idea of the worlds is divided into three levels, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, which is also connected to the three different revelations. Bria, Yetzira, Asiya is connected to Mali, Soiviv, and the essence of Hashem. And like it's explained in many places, that, and the Rebbe explains it over here, that the Chomer, which basically is the initial creation, you know, the fact that something exists before you create a description and an image and a revelation, so that Bria is connected to the concealment of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. So Bria is the highest level. And once you already have a formation, some kind of image, Yitzira, that's a revealing a little bit about the material. That's already connected to the Soiviv, which is revealing the essence of Hashem. And then when you have a Tikkun Asiya, which now you have a specific image, that is the way the Mamali comes into the world in every single level based on who it is, and that's also what it says in the Chassidic discourse based on the explanation of the blessing where it says Boirei Nefashos, the one that created, and then Chesroinim, what you're lacking, and it says Chesroinim plural. So there's two components in filling something which is lacking. On one hand, it's Mamali Kalalmim, and the other hand, it's Seviv Kalalmim. And whatever you created, so it says in the Tur Shulchan Aruch, that's referring to what the things are for pleasure, and which is the tremendous abundance of wealth, which comes from the essence of the Impar Hashem. And you can say this is the reason that he brings this in the Chassidic discourse, to hint us out that even in this physical world, you have all three components. So you see that these three components of Mamali and Kansavim and the essence of Hashem applies to the three worlds, and applies also the different energy into each one of the worlds itself. However, the godly energy which comes into the world, Olam, which is generally Mamali, so where is that revealed in the world? And that's why that the revelation of this energy has that happen, comes through the work that the Jewish people do. And like he explains in the Chassidic discourse of Zois Chukas HaTorah, that the revelation of the three ideas of Mamale, Soiviv, and the essence of Hashem, like we've already learned before, comes from the three different levels of love, V'chal Levavcha, V'chal Nafshcha, V'chal Moedecha. Why is that? Because this, that the energy of Mamale, it gets revealed in the world, that means the world realized that there has energy, but you don't realize that it's godliness. But when Bnei Yisrael do what we do, our avodah, and we pray and we study and we do mitzvot, what gets revealed in the world? Then no, it's not just the energy of the world, but it's actually godly energy, and this energy gets revealed now in this world. And the energy of Soivev, which is not really enclosed in the world, it hovers over, and how much more so the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than coming to the world. But it comes into the world when Bnei Yisrael do our avodah, and the revelation of these components of Seviv and the essence is when is it going to be? It's going to be Mashiach comes. In the days of Mashiach, it's going to be first the level of revelation of Seviv, and then when you have the resurrection of the dead, you're going to have the revelation of the essence of Hashem, which is higher. And he goes on in the Chassidic discourse to explain that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Osher. He's a wealthy person, and like we explained before, that the tefillah of Moshe is a tefillah of a rich person, because why is that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Das Elyon, the higher level of Das. And he explains, there's something which is called Das Tachtoin, the lower level of Das, and it's the higher level of Das. The lower level of Das, where does it receive its energy from? Because everything receives it from a higher level. It receives it from the external part of Keter, which is called Arich. In Keter, you have Atik and Arich. Atik is the higher level of the internal level. Arich is the lower level, the external level. So the lower level of Das gets from Arich. And Das Elyon, which we said Moshe Rabbeinu is Das Elyon, receives what from the internal part of Keter, which is Atik. So what's the difference between Arich and Atik? It means the external part and the internal part of Keter. And he explains like this. Arich, the lower part of Keter, that's the source of everything that's created afterwards, which is basically the idea of Soiviv. It hovers over, and it's a source to the world. Soiviv is the source of the world. Atik, on the other hand, it's the lower level of the creation, which basically is referring to the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, which is higher than the world. And since the revelation of Soiviv, which is basically Arich, is basically fulfilling what's lacking, and yes, even though they're luxuries, and what is wealth, is specifically in the essence of the infinite power of Hashem, which is higher than Seviv, which is Atik. So therefore, in Das also, where is wealth? Wealth is Das Elyon, which receives what from Pnimius or Kesser, from the internal part of Kesser. And based on what he explained before, that taking away from being poor, you know, the part that you're lacking, how do you take that away? Specifically, when it comes from wealth, which is higher than filling something that's lacking. Because on the other hand, when you have just day machseroi, and even though, yes, you're giving the person what they used to, luxuries, a horse and a servant, etc., but the fact is, at an internal level, you're still lacking, even if you're going to have a tremendous flow. So you can say that even when the person's service of Hashem is coming from das, which means recognition and feeling, but it's the lower level of das, it's called das tachta, in which receives from arich, so then it's still external to yourself. And the person himself is still lacking. In other words, it means a place in the human being that godliness is not revealed. So even though there's a recognition and a feeling, because it's das, but it's a lower level das, and the person himself feels it, but since the person's a human being, he's a somebody, and it's not that you feel, it's about feeling godliness, so then it's an external idea to yourself. And now we're going to go deeper into it. So you can say deeper. This, that the spiritual work of the lower of a level of das, basically is something still lacking. It's because the human being and your recognition in God is two separate things. And those, even from the recognition, and a powerful version of das, but it's a lower level of das, but it's still possible that something should exist outside godliness. And since the lower level das receives from the external part of Keter, which is Arich, which in generally speaking it's a level of Soivev, which is the source of the world, so even from das it leaves room that something should exist. And that's the reason that when you reveal this level, the person still remains a human being. And you remain a human being external from God. But in order to fulfill the vacuum completely, which means there shouldn't be a place where God is not revealed, that only comes from the level of Das Elyon, which receives from Pnimi Takeser, which is called Atik. And in Kabbalistic terms, it's called you receiving from Atzma Sarayim, the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. Because when you're coming to the level of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem, there's nothing else that exists. And on the contrary, Amitis Himotzi Yisborech, it's the true existence of Hashem. And that is the true existence of everything. Like the Rambam writes. When you reveal that level of Das Elyon, so the recognition of godliness, it's not that I am wrecking God. No, that's the only thing that really exists. There's nothing else that exists other than God. So based on this, he'd like to explain why Moshe Rabbeinu, which again, remember, we're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Das Elyon, Pnimius HaKesser, Atik, and Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to fulfill a need of the Jewish people, that's called a rich man's prayer. Even though it bothers him, the Jewish people are lacking something, because Moshe Rabbeinu is Das Elyon. And when you reach the level of Das Elyon, real wealth, there's nothing that's lacking. Nothing. And as besides the fact, by Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing's lacking. He's connected to Das Elyon, the highest level of Keter, Atik, nothing. But and compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, even the lacking of the Jewish people, and he's praying for them, he doesn't see they're lacking. Why? Because Das Elyon receives somewhere from Atik. And when you receive from Atik, what do you feel? And what do you recognize? That the true existence of Hashem, that is the true existence of everything, and nobody's lacking anything. Nobody's lacking anything. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu praying for them? If nobody's lacking, why is he praying for them? Because the prayer is to fill what's lacking. So you can say that was his prayer. That the truth, that nothing is lacking, that's what they should feel. That's his prayer. That you should feel that nothing's lacking. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, he felt it. He felt that nothing was lacking. In a revealed way. And even when he had to pray for them. And that's why it's called a rich man's prayer. A rich man's prayer is because he realized there's nothing lacking by himself. And his prayer was that the other person should take experience that nothing is really lacking. And to add, that this, that the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu is called a rich man's prayer, not only because on the time of prayer he's rich, but more than that, he prayed because he was rich. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer was that what should be fulfilled up, the lacking of the Jewish people, and those literally the Jewish people, and also through the Jewish people what's lacking in Malchus, and what's lacking in the world, is that what's lacking should be filled. Well, his prayer was, and this is the most important part, that there shouldn't be a place where godliness is not revealed. And in order to fulfill this lacking, that every place God should be revealed, that comes by revealing Das Elyon. When Das Elyon is revealed, everyone has everything. And you can say that mere fact that King David wrote this psalm, Tefillah LaMoshe, and he put it in his book of Psalms, that every single Jewish person says, even simple people, that gives the power of every single Jewish person to reveal real wealth that you have. Because every one of us has a part of Moshe Rabbeinu within us. And through that, fulfill what's lacking in Malchus and in the world. Literally filling every gap. That there shouldn't be a place in this world that the godliness is not revealed. And ever say he'd like to connect this where it says in the Medrash, where it says, Ish Halakim, Moshe Rabbeinu was Ish Halakim. Ish means a man of God. And what does that mean? What does the Medrash say? That when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, he was Ish, he was a man. And when he came down, he was Halakim. And the previous Rebbe explains in that Sicha, in that talk, which is brought down in the beginning of the Chassidic discourse, that Adam, a human being could be called Adam, which is intellect, and he called Ish, which is referring to the emotions. So what's higher? Seemingly Adam is higher because it's intellect, and Ish is lower, it's the emotions. But this in the Medrash says, when he went up to heaven, he was an Ish. Why an Ish? It should have been Adam, which is intellect, is to teach us that even when you're praying and you're meditating about the greatest, loftiest ideas, and you grasp them well, and you're going up to heaven, you have to remember that you're an Ish. You have to remember that you have emotions, and you have to remember that you have emotions that need to be transformed and refined. And when you go up to the highest levels, and you remember that you're a human being, an Ish, and you refine your character, when you come down from heaven, afterwards you become a Elokim. And Elokim comes from the level of judgment. And also the Kim comes from the level of power, that you have the real power to make a judgment of yourself that your behavior should be the way it's supposed to. And based on what it's explained, that the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is underscored by the prayer, Tefillah Moshe, which Moshe was a real rich person, you can say that the work of an Ish Elokim is also connected to the idea of real wealth. And what does that mean? Rebbe explains. The three ideas that we learned in depth, Mamali Kalalmim, Soiviv Kalalmim, and Oirin Soiv, which is higher than Soiviv. Those three levels that God comes into the world, God hovers over the world in the essence of Hashem. We also have these three ideas in the human being. That the revelation of the soul is similar to the revelation of Mamali Soiviv and the essence of the soul, which is connected to the essence of Hashem. And just like on high, from the revelation perspective of Mamali and Soiviv, there's possibility for something to exist outside godliness. And this, that the true existence is only godliness, only when you reach the highest level, the essence of Hashem. So the same thing also our spiritual work is, that in order that when we meditate and when we pray, and it should have an effect on us a whole day, Ish, to refine our character, and we should come to them to make a proper judgment, that only happens when our prayer comes, when it's connected to the essence of our soul, like Moshe Rabbeinu, real wealth. And to add, that it was explained in the Chassidic discourse, that when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for the Jewish people, so it's praying, referring to the level of sphere of Malchus, is two components. Component number one is to draw down the ray of the essence of the infinite part of Hashem. And through that, you can elevate Malchus. That means Malchus will be elevated from down here on a high level up to bringing it to the level of the essence of Hashem. And by doing that, you can bring down Atzmus, the essence of Malchus, down to the slowest level. So as you can say the same, you can say the same idea, these two ideas in Malchus, is the same idea of Ish Elokim. In other words, when he went up to heaven, he was Ish. It means he remembered that he had to refine himself. And when he came down, he brought it down to refine the world in himself. That through doing the Avodah, that when he went up to heaven, he remembered that he was an Ish. It means even when he meditated in prayer, he remembered that he has emotions, that he has to transform and refine. And when his prayer is on that level, and you connect it to the essence of your soul, then you bring down that essence of your soul down into this world, and this way you elevate this physical world, and by doing that, you're bringing in the essence, Atzmus, or inside the essence of the Impar Hashem, to elevate Malchus, which is source, is in Atzmus. And when doing our spiritual work, that when he came down from the heaven, Elohim, and it was through the prayer, he connected with his essence of the soul, he affected his behavior a whole day, by is drawing down and revealing the essence of the soul in the materialistic world. And by doing that, you actually draw down and reveal into Malchus, like he says, the Kree, that it should be built. Never finish it off, and he says, you can say, and that's why the beginning of the Mizrah says, Hashem Mo'in Ata Yisrael. We said Mo'in is a house. And the end says, Vihi Noyam, which is pleasure. And we said that both of them have the same letters, because in the beginning of the psalm, he's referring to Malchus. I mean, Malchus goes up into Atik, into Pnimius HaKesser. And that's why it says Mo'in. You're elevating Malchus. You're elevating Malchus into Kesser. But Moim is the same letters as Noyam, which is basically the way Moim goes into sweetness, which is Atik. But at the end, so the first you elevate it, but at the end it says Noyam, which is referring to Atik, which comes into Malchus. And through Malchus, in the worlds of Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, into this world, you bring in Noyam. And it finishes off and it says, Vihi Noyam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, that the Noyam of the Keter, Atik, should come down on us, because the main revelation is to the Jewish people. Yinam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, on the Jewish people. And through the Jewish people, it should get revealed in the whole world. And when should that happen? Be'gu'ula ha'amitis v'hashleima, with the redemption, the true redemption, the complete redemption, through Mashiach Tidkenu, Mekarev Mamish, with the coming of the King Messiah, very, very soon and very, very quickly. So here you have a very, very powerful, beautiful Hasidic discourse. I mean, obviously heavy levels, Kabbalah, Malikam, Sevikam, Atzmus, etc. But one beautiful lesson, I mean many beautiful lessons, about what is a rich person. A rich person is when you're rich in essence, and real richness is about, there's no self, and just about bringing God anywhere into the world. Let's hope and pray we can be zoicha to reach that level of wealth, about bringing God into the world, no ego, just all about Hashem, and we'll all merit for the coming of Mashiach, and next class will be in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.